Today, we will read Matthew 12, 1 through 23. Before we begin, let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, open your word that we can see it, that we can understand it. Lord, guide our hearts and minds. I pray that you would reveal more of who you are to us today. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Matthew 12, verses 1 through 23. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath, and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. A large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. He warned them not to tell others about him. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. "Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through victory. In his name the nations will put their hope." Then they brought him a demon-possessed man, who was both blind and mute, and Jesus healed him, so that he could both talk and see. All of the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the Son of David?" All right. Today we are looking more at the ministry of Jesus, and we have a couple stories going on here, so let's look at them and talk about them. The very first part of today's reading, most of today's reading, looks at Jesus as the Lord of the Sabbath. It looks at Jesus and his beliefs about the Sabbath. Now, what is the Sabbath? Well, in the Old Testament, God gave the Jews a number of laws. He told them that there are certain things that they must do and certain things that they must not do. Among those, God required them to keep the Sabbath. What that meant was, on one day a week, they were to do no work at all. They were to do They were not to work. They were to spend that time worshiping God. They were to rest. God had established a special day, a Sabbath day, when they were to take a break from working and rest and worship God. Now, this was one single day. It was the last day of the week. And they did this as a whole community, as a whole nation. It wasn't that one person would take one day off, another would take a different day off. But as a nation, that seventh day of the week, that was their special, holy, sacred day. And so on that day, they were to take time off from work. Well, as time went by, traditions were established. What does it mean to work? Am I allowed to do this? Am I allowed to do that? If I'm not working for somebody else, can I work for myself? And so they developed these traditions and laws in which the Pharisees were the religious leaders. And they often created extra, very, very strict rules of things so that they had established their own ideas of what does it mean to work so strict that they weren't allowed to do a lot of common things. They were trying to be very righteous and holy, but they had gone to such an extreme that here, as his disciples are just walking through the fields, and as they go, they're like, ooh, that looks tasty. They reach out and pick off a snack, and the Pharisees see this, and they're like, oh no, you have broken the traditions. And Jesus says, what are you getting so upset about? What they have done is not breaking the rules. I think even in today's world, we see this, that oftentimes people will create additional rules beyond what God requires of us, and then they will hold everyone to these rules and say, oh, if you want to be a good Christian, you must do this and this and this. It is important to look at the Word of God and see what God's Word actually says. If God does require that of you, then yes, we should do that and obey. But many times, some of the things are simply interpretations or applications of principles in the Bible, at which point you must pray. You must ask God what it is that He would have you do, and then not judge other people. Now, I think even today, having a Sabbath day is a very good thing. And traditionally, in today's world, Christians have chosen Sunday as a Sabbath day. They have, rather than it has to be on the seventh day, instead they have chosen Sunday to be their day of worship, their day of rest. And so Christians do that to honor the resurrection of Jesus, that Jesus died, He was buried, and on the first day of the week He came back to life. Throughout in the New Testament later on, it talks about not being judged by our Sabbath days. And so that is, I think, one reason why Christians do this, that that they honor Jesus and remember the resurrection and His coming back to life by having their Sabbath day on Sunday. I think taking that time to stop work, to rest, be with your family, worship God, is a very valuable thing, and it's very rewarding. I remember when I was in college, it was very easy to try to use that Sunday as an extra day off when I could study and really spend a lot of time doing schoolwork. But I began to think maybe this would be a better time to plan my time better, spend more time on Saturday finishing my schoolwork, and then on Sunday, take a day of rest. Well, I found that God actually blessed me. He helped me quickly finish my work, and then on Sunday, when I was able to take that time off, I didn't get behind on my classes, and I actually was able to rest. My brain was able to have some time away from school, away from work, to just rest and relax, but also to spend time in worshiping God. And so I think even now, it is valuable. We should take that time to rest. But Jesus is saying that we should not be so strict and legalistic and obsessive about things. It is good to do good on the Sabbath day. That when God says do not work, he doesn't mean don't do anything at all, but instead that this should be a different day. And here, Jesus then goes on, and they are trying to trap him and trick him. And so they bring him a man who is sick, and his hand is deformed. And they say, oh, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Oh, this is work. How can you work on the Sabbath day? And Jesus looks at them and says, and he doesn't say this exactly, but his tone, what he, his reply, it communicates, what are you thinking? Of course it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. Of course it's okay. Here, watch. And then he heals him. And so, it is good to serve others, to reach out to others, and do kind things for them. And so it's not a day when we sit around and do absolutely nothing, but it is a different day, a special day, holy to God. And I think it is between you and God what you do on that day. But try to find some time to have a Sabbath day. Then Matthew talks about Jesus as God's chosen servant. And Jesus does fulfill the prophecies of Isaiah, that Jesus came to be a servant. He didn't come to be served by everybody else. And you see this throughout, that he is constantly healing, constantly serving, constantly doing good for others. And I think this is another thing that we can apply to our lives, that we can spend our lives in service. Another point that I like that Matthew talks about is, as he is talking about Isaiah, is verse 21. In his name, the nations will put their hope. This is a passion of mine, to see the world put their hope in Jesus. We can put our hope in Christ. He is not limited for the Jews or for the Western world. He is the Lord of all nations. And all of us, no matter what country we come from, can put our hope in Jesus. Because he is God's Son. He is the one who was promised. They bring him, a demon-possessed man, and he heals him. And all the people are amazed, and they say, could this be the Son of David? What they're saying is, could this be the Messiah, the one who was promised, the one who has come to set us free, the one who God said he would send? And Jesus is. He is the hope of the world. He is our Redeemer. He is the one who came to set us free from sin, to set us free from all of the legalistic traditions where, oh, you have to do this and you can't do this and all of that. Not saying that there is nothing that we should do that we don't have to obey, but that our relationship with God is through Jesus, not through all of the good things that we do. We still need to follow Jesus, and in following Jesus, we will naturally obey. But it is based on faith. It is based on trust, not on trying to earn my way to God. And we'll look at that a lot more as we get further into the New Testament. But today, pray that God would help you to serve others. And also pray that God would help you find a way to, once a week, take a Sabbath day. Take a day of rest and have a day to worship God, to spend time with Him, to lead your family in worshiping God, and just to rest. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would be with us. I pray that as we apply your word, that we would not go so far as to create additional burdens for us or others to carry, but that we would find rest in you, that we would follow you and obey you in a way that pleases you. Lord, I pray that you would help us today. Lord, as you served many others, help us to serve. Give us a heart like yours that loves others, that does not look at the small things that other people do and condemn them like the Pharisees did, but that loves and is gentle and shows mercy and a heart that serves. Lord, we pray that you would just lead and guide us today. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.